Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
All year, these guys basically watch hundreds of films, sit through hours of television, wade through millions of words, just so you and I get to kind of watch the best, see the best, read the best. So we thought it'd be kind of high time to have them on to talk about the best and the worst of 2010. Mark Hadley, our TV critic, Cara Martin, our book critic, and Ben McKechnie, our film critic. Okay, Ben McKechnie, by the way, wonderful work all year. Fantastic, absolutely. Big fan of your work.
Sharon, it's you. It's all you.
it's all you, mate. It's all you. No, it's really all Cara. Anyway.
That's right, it is.
Film. Let's talk about the worst of film first. We'll get to the best. Worst of film first. I mean, this is your job every day, working for Empire Magazine. I mean, you're watching movies. How many movies do you see on average every week?
Between, let's say, like 4 to 10, probably, with some TV shows chucked in between just for good measure.
Yeah, just
because I haven't watched enough.
Just to keep a balanced life, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Keep me fully balanced, yeah.
Who's in the runners-up for the worst film of 2010?
Look, I think the biggest worst film was Clash of the Titans. I'm not sure how many people here saw that. I hope you didn't, because that means you would have lost your money really quickly. In a year where 3D was meant to take over film after Avatar pretty much revolutionised the world, 3D didn't come into its own like people expected, and for many reasons, such as Clash of the Titans, mainly because the 3D transfer in that film was terrible, it was rubbish. And the film itself was rubbish, really.
Actually, somebody was telling me recently there's two ways to make a 3D movie, isn't there? One is to use 3D cameras, but the other one is to do it by computer. And what did Clash of the Titans do?
So they did the transfer afterwards, not using the 3D cameras like Avatar. So it's all very harsh to judge everything by Avatar. But basically, Clash of the Titans was a really bad remake of a 1980s beloved nostalgic kitsch piece of work that really doesn't stand up that well anyway, the original. And yet, with all the money people have got today, you'd think you could make a great rip-roaring special effects feature. Nah. Instead, Clash of the Titans was just blah. And then it was... I wish I found a better word than blur, but it was. And the 3D just made it even worse. So that, for me, was the biggest worst film of the year. But the worst, easily, was The Bounty Hunter. Like,
anybody see it?
What'd
you think? Oh, you liked it.
I'll see you later.
Whenever we have Ben on, actually, invariably, somebody will call up and say, I really liked that film. I really liked it.
That's why talking about film and getting to write about them and talk to people about them is great, because I love hearing different people's opinions, particularly about films they have such a strong reaction to. In my case, The Bounty Hunter, my reaction was so physically annoyed. And so I've wasted a lot of time in cinemas, believe me. I see a lot of terrible films. But The Bounty Hunter, my goodness. Like, there was nothing good about that film. I'm really sorry, but there was nothing good about that film. There was no chemistry between the leads, Jennifer Aniston, Gerard Butler. It was the most trite, predictable, worst example of a Hollywood romantic comedy that's come out this year. And there's been some average examples this year, like
Tell
Killers.
Tell us what you really feel, mate.
Catherine Michael. I'm obviously trying to stop people from seeing The Bounty Hunter. If there's one thing I do this year and I achieve, it is stopping people seeing The Bounty Hunter. Do not see it. Even though I'm saying...
I know. I'm
going to
have
see
to back up
was.
A bit. I know. Please, I can't state it strongly enough, though. Do not see it.
Okay, got it? Yeah. Cara Martin. We're going to give you a little bit more time. Well, no, not going to give you more time, but we're going to give you two options. Non-fiction and fiction. What are the runners up for the worst? We're going to get to the positive stuff, and we're going to be nice and open-housey in a sec. But the worst stuff first.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess with non-fiction and fiction, I had books that actually crossed over to either way, and that's part of the reason they were the worst. So Philip Pullman's The Good Man Jesus and The Scoundrel Christ is a work of fiction. But it was so infiltrated with Pullman's atheistic polemic that it became something that was not very readable as fiction as it was portrayed. And I just think that's really sad for someone who is actually a very good storyteller generally. It was a very poorly written book, and hopefully it didn't do that well. And the other book that I had trouble getting through was The Longest Trip Home, which was really well named because it was the longest read of this year. And it was by John Grogan, who wrote an interesting book, Marley and Me, which a lot of people love. But this was an extended memoir where it was such self-indulgent stuff that it was... Yeah, I think I'd like to think of a better word than stuffed. Too. That's why the other guys were the Brains Trust, wasn't it? But anyway, it was just a really hard read and very sentimental and very disappointing.
Do you feel as strongly about those books as Ben McKeown?
Obviously does not. About,
I didn't realise I was that angry. I thought I'd actually got past it.
There's a lot of stuff deep down there, mate. Yeah, yeah, stay on the couch. We'll have a chat afterwards.
It really tests your Christian charity. That's what a movie is.
Mark Hadley, worst Buddy. TV of 2010.
Oh, look, you know, I was going to say, because I'm just up to here with it, but I think...
There's a lot of anger coming out tonight.
It's just a really good format.
You draw it out, mate, you get to the heart of us, it's incredible. Look, any news program that's mentioned Oprah in the last 48 hours...
She's coming, you know.
Respect.
When I heard that they altered the harbour bridge for her, that was it. No, I was over it. But actually, look, I think if I was looking back at the year and looking at probably the most myopic, you know, banal, self-indulgent program that aired on television, it would have to be Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You know, and...
Please bag it
with me, because I was actually thinking, when I first read this, I was actually quite excited. Because what? I misread it.
Oh.
Because you see, you know, this is a confession that won't go down well with the audience, but I actually thought it was Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and I'm a Star Trek fan. So I just thought, like, what a great idea for a series. You know, like we see the Kardashians at home, you know, when they're not on the starship, what they're doing. You know, I just thought that would be great TV, but no, it was a real letdown. Look, in terms of parenting, I just don't know if there is a better example of how not to raise a family and why you shouldn't put your family on television. You know, because the world now thinks the worst of these people.
Right. Well, let's stay with you. let's make the transition then to what you think was the best.
Yeah, actually, I think, I'm a bit of a gleek. So I really liked Glee seasons 1 and 2, and it was really hard.
How many other people are with Mark on that? So many people loved Glee.
Yeah, you know.
Well, that's surprising. That's a bit of a mixed response.
I was going to say, because most of us are actually, you know, the Gleek fans are older than we care to admit, and we're just reliving our glory days on the radio. But the look, I think that probably the best TV by far was Sherlock. It was a 3-part series. I don't know if you saw that. It was brilliant TV. And that was one of those ones where you just read over and you go, oh, another remake of Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, I could probably skip that and look at something else. I'm so glad I didn't. You can get it through the ABC. It's brilliant on DVD. You should really go and watch it because, look, there are some characters that are forever fascinating. People will always be telling stories about Superman. They'll always be writing, you know, rewriting Pride and Prejudice, you know. And Jesus, a classic character. Sherlock Holmes is one of those characters, that sort of yin-yang, him and the tension between him and Dr. Watson, brilliant. And I think just the presupposition, the thing that got down nailed in this series was that if you met Sherlock Holmes without any understanding of who he was, you'd think he was a nutter. If you were the cops, you'd think he was a psychopath. And you might actually want to lock him up. And I often think when overtly Christian, when you see things like that, you see images of Christ and you think to yourself, if you met him without the context, if you didn't listen, you'd think he was another. But when you see him in context, when you see what he's achieved, you know, there's no better character.
There you go. Cara Martin, best books of 2010, non-fiction and fiction.
Okay, non-fiction, Eric Metaxas's biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Mm-hmm. Just a fantastic book. I can't believe that they're selling it for $20 in some bookshops. And it's such a quality, amazing book.
Not 1995.
I know. And that's what they're doing wrong.
I see, yeah.
Don't believe the simple price means nothing. It's it's a fantastic book. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian and author who was martyred for his opposition to Hitler. Just wonderful, the insights that you get from this book, and really, really good reading. Eric Metaxas also wrote the biography of William Wilberforce that led to Amazing Grace, and he's a wonderful writer. In terms of fiction, I think this one gets yes and no responses, but Hilary Mantel's Wolf Hall, the Booker Prize-winning novel. Now, I know some people see it as merely a cockroach killer, but I think it's a really interesting book because it's into the whole intrigue of Henry VIII and his kingdom, but it's from the perspective of Thomas Cromwell, one of his advisors. But there's this amazing subplot which is all about the English Reformation and people wanting to get the Bible into people's hands in a language they could understand. And it's amazing to see that come through this story. And yes, Henry VIII just wanted to get rid of the Catholic Church so he could get rid of a wife. But the bonus of that was that the Bible became available to people for the first time in a really widespread way. And that's told through this book, which is a secular book, but a really interesting subplot to the whole story.
Hilary Mantel's Wolf Hall. Okay, Ben, how are you feeling?
I'm good. Great to be here, yeah.
Okay, now we've got you there.
Yeah.
We're going to take you further.
It's a good thing I'm on a couch. I should lie down.
Okay, so we've done the worst. Okay, the best of 2010.
This is the bit where it turns out I love cinema. Look, I've got two honourable mentions and a guilty pleasure and then the best movie of the year. Very quickly, The King's Speech that's coming out on Boxing Day is going to win Best Picture, is going to win Best Actor, probably going to win Best Supporting Actor. It's got Colin Firth and Geoffrey Rush in it. It's amazing. The other film, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the most underrated film of the year. Represent. And the guilty pleasure was The A-Team, which I know a lot of people hated, but I thought it was yeah, right? I thought it was awesome, like with a capital A. It was so great. But the best film of the year, Toy Story 3.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks. Although, and people in the audience can tell this, but my esteemed colleague Mark Hadley's body language over here, he was just telling me off air of his kind of Christian revisionist take on Toy Story 3. And he didn't quite manage to convince me that it wasn't the best movie of the year. However, I won't go into details about what he was saying, but it was a very interesting take. That all that said, Toy Story 3 still for me was the most entertaining time at the cinema all year. And talk about great 3D. But Pixar are the best production house in the world at making like all ages entertainment. They're incredible. But we're talking the third film in a trilogy in a franchise.
They tend to go down, don't they?
They do. Let's like the Police Academy films. Hello, but but like Toy Story
three was number one at Police Academy.
But Toy Story 3 crowns, I think, the best trilogy of all time, and I'm even willing to put that up against Lord of the Rings and Godfather. And yeah. Come on, we're talking about a cartoon about toys, but it's amazing. So. Obviously, I could talk all night about how much I love Toy Story 3, and I'm like almost 35 years old, don't have children. But what? Come on, man. Like Aragorn versus Woody. Woody would hammer Aragorn. So it was fantastic. Laughed, almost cried when I was in there.
Yeah, you almost.
And it wasn't the Bounty Hunter.
Once you get rid of the anger, you'll be able to cry, man.
While they're still making the Bounty Hunter. I'm going to have much more anger where that came from.
Two brief things. You didn't mention Inception. I would have thought that would have to have come in. Did anybody? I loved Inception. Anybody else love Inception?
I really liked it, but I thought that was one of the more overrated films of the year. Just because if you came out of it not thinking it was the best movie ever, people looked at you like you're a nutter.
Right.
You thought, what? But there were films like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Matrix that had done similar things before people. So I'm just saying that Inception wasn't the most original concept that's ever come along.
Right.
That's all.
And I loved, something, beforehand, how you're supposed to respond. I loved Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Whoa, look at that.
Have we got time to go into this?
Minutes over time, you've got 30 seconds.
I'll say yes and no. It's the best of the series so far. I think, yes for me. But it wasn't as boring as the first two.
Oh.
It wasn't. Yeah, we should have started talking about this at the start. Yeah.
Sacrilegious.
Is he going to get out of here alive?
Hey, I like the 3D, what? But the performances, really? The performances. No. They let the side down. They do.
It's not as good as people think.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Sheridan.
Sorry, guys.
Maybe we should go back to Inception. I really like Toy Story 3.
But not Bounty Hunter. Please thank our kind of strange friend over here. His name's Ben McKechnie, Cara Martin, and Mark Hadley.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.